Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
I had never thought about the idea that when I turn to anything other than my God, I could be grieving Him. I never thought about that. And that it tells the world what I really believe. Michael, do you really believe the Holy Spirit is your comforter if you never turn to Him? It was powerful for me. I wrote down on my little pad, I wrote, punt the iPad. And I did. May you and I be people that get rid of the things that weigh us down, because it's not worth it.
What did the disciples take with them when Jesus called them to follow Him? They dropped their work, left their communities, and even their families to follow Him. Now that's not a justification or reason to abandon your family or responsibilities. If you're married, with or without children, bring them with you on the mission God calls you on. As Pastor Michael will explain in today's message, the point of it is this: Jesus comes first. Everything else needs to be moved to its proper place behind Him. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Acts chapter 27 as he continues his message, Brace for Impact.
We have to ask ourselves, God, is there anything here that could drag me down? You know, sometimes people ask, you know, Michael, do you go to one of those churches where, like, the pastor's up there and he's pointing his finger at everybody and he's telling everybody all the bad stuff you're not supposed to do, right? You know, it's like, you know, just talking about sin all the time and how bad it is and how you should be living your life. Is that the kind of church you go to, you know, where, you know what, people have this kind of perception of what church is like, right? Like, we have a list on the wall, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run around with girls that do. And so I always try to tell those people, it's not really what we do. I mean, you know what we do? We try to let people know the heart of God and how much He loves them and how the heart of God is revealed in His word. And then, you know, if they fall in love with God, then they, you know, accept Him. And then the Holy Spirit comes in. And then pretty much the Holy Spirit tells them all the bad stuff they're not supposed to do. And that's pretty much it. So at church today, you know, it's really not like a cool thing to, you know, just point out a bunch of sins. But can I just say for one second, there are some specific sins that we should be staying away from. And maybe we should talk about them sometimes, right? I mean, like, if I have one more guy come up to me after his wife and kids leave because they found out he had this internet pornography addiction, and he betrayed this family's trust, I'm gonna go ballistic. These are people that call themselves Christians. What's up? There are some people who are so afraid of being alone that they will give their heart to someone who hasn't given their heart to Jesus. And I look at that and I'm going, what are you doing? Well, Pastor Michael, I mean, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked, and I think that's talking about marriage, and I'm just dating this person. No! You give your heart to that person who hasn't given their heart to Jesus Christ, it will sink you. You have to stay away from that. Get rid of that. Amen. Two people that clapped are going to heaven. Jealousy. Little bit of anger, envy, greed, pride. If there's anything in there, any unkept area of your heart that you've been hiding, man, get rid of it. Ask yourself, what could sink me today? This new year, you know, I had a few New Year's resolutions, and one of them I'm gonna share with you. Kelly and I got married like 25 years ago. One of the things that we sort of committed to each other was that we would never have a television in our bedroom. And so we sort of made that commitment. You know, it's not in the book of Hezekiah or anything. We just felt like that was something important. We don't want to have a TV in our bedroom, that our bedroom was made for other things, like sleep. And so we said, we're not going to do that. And so we were really good with that. And about 3.5, 4 years ago, a friend of mine blessed me and gave me a $650 iPad. And that's when they were pretty new. I didn't know what an iPad was, and he blessed me. And at that time, I was traveling a lot, and I needed something portable. And so I had this iPad, and it's awesome. And then God created this incredible app called Netflix. And And so it's so cool. I mean, Netflix, you have all of these shows. And I mean, from like when I grew up, I mean, I can watch Dukes of Hazzard again. Are you kidding me? Awesome. And so anyway, so what we found, Kelly and I found, is that, you know, little by little, you know, we, you know, jump into bed and pull out the iPad and we're watching some TV series and we're going through it at night and everything. And listen, I'm not trying to say if you have a television set in your house, in your bedroom, whatever, you're a sinner, or if you watch Netflix, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm trying to say. But for me, it was a conviction that God had given us and we had let it slide. You with me? And so this new year, I got convicted a little while ago, and so right before Christmas, I went down on Fillmore and pawned, and they gave me $100, which, anyway. So I took the $100, and I got my wife a bracelet or whatever for Christmas, and looked awesome, and I looked awesome because I got her that. And then I bought a couple's devotional Bible where it takes you through the New Testament in a year and has a devotion. So Kelly and I have been doing this at night. We climb in bed, and when she learned I sold the iPad, she beat me up, and then she said, "That's awesome." And so we've been doing this together, and I promise you we've done this all year. And so far, it's been awesome. Here's the deal. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Al stood on this stage and he preached an awesome message. I sit right here in the corner seat and I'm taking notes, and it was called The Power of One. And he's talking, and his third point was seek one comforter. You guys remember that? No, you don't. Anyway, it was seek one comforter. It was so good. And he was talking about this. He said this. He said, in 2016, some of you are going to have a lot of trials that you're going to come on. He said, when that happens, where are you going to turn? Are you going to seek one comforter? Are you going to seek the Holy Spirit when you're going through times of crisis? Or are you going to turn to alcohol? Are you going to turn to drugs? Are you going to turn to immorality? And it really hit me. I was sitting there. I was taking notes. And he said this. I have a quote here. Listen, because it totally ministered me. He says, we grieve God's Spirit when we are in the storm and turn to anything other than Him for help. And later he went on to say, it tells the world what we really believe. For me, when I've had a stressful day and my mind is jittery and I just want to calm down so I can go to sleep or whatever, for me, what I turn to is the television. That's me. Or Netflix. Other people, it might be pouring a drink just to escape. But I had never thought about the idea that when I turn to anything other than my God, I could be grieving Him. I never thought about that. And that it tells the world what I really believe. Michael, do you really believe the Holy Spirit is your comforter if you never turn to Him? It was powerful for me. I wrote down on my little pad, I wrote, punt the iPad. And I did. May you and I be people that get rid of the things that weigh us down, because it's not worth it. God wants to do big things in our heart and in our life. And for us to be ready for it, whatever crisis that comes, we're going to have to be braced for that. And that begins with getting rid of the stuff that weighs us down. Amen? Amen. All right. And then the next thing is we got to refocus on our primary objective. Look at verse 21. After a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and he said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there I love this. There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And he said, do not be afraid. That's how angels talk. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So therefore, take heart, man, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must crash. We must run aground on a certain island. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. If you're going to prepare for impact this year, you not only need to get rid of the stuff that weighs you down, you need to stay focused on your primary objective. Somehow Paul here is able to live outside of his context. His context at this moment, no sun, no stars, completely dark, waves crashing, wind blowing, people chucking stuff overboard, people, all hell's breaking loose. People are freaking out. That's the context. That's his atmosphere. But he's living outside of that. He's not freaking out. Why is he not freaking out? Because he's able to stand up and say this. Guys, listen. There's this God. My God. I know him. I belong to him. I love him. I serve him. And get this. He speaks to me. He speaks to me. And guess what he told me? He told me I have a mandate on my life. I have a mission. I'm going to go stand before Caesar. I'm going to go to the huge city of Rome. This is the most awesome opportunity for me where I can have the most impressive impact for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is my mission. And God told me last night, I am going to accomplish my mission. And good news for all of you, you're with me. I ain't dying until I accomplish what God has called me to do. And you're with me. Wow. You know the best way to get over fear? The best way to conquer fear is to understand the calling of God on your life. You understand what I'm saying? If you can understand what God has called, the calling of God on your life, you will live. You will live to fulfill that calling. You absolutely will. You will not die before you fulfill what God has called you to do if you are living with that as your primary objective. And that takes away a lot of fear. God is looking at Paul here and he's saying, Paul, your purpose in life is to stand in that place where you can have the maximum impact for the sake of Jesus Christ. And listen, Paul, I will get you there if you are willing to go there. I'm going to get you there if you're willing to go there, if it's your primary objective. Paul knew what his primary objective is. Do you? I mean, this morning, seriously, what is your primary objective? Like, what are you living for? What are you working so hard to gain? I mean, as Christians, are we like everyone else on the planet, just sort of circling the globe, trying to get a little house and a white picket fence and 2.1 kids or whatever it is now? I mean, are our goals the same as the world? What's our primary objective? What are we doing all this for? If you know it, when crisis comes in the midst of storms, when your dreams come crashing down, when all hell breaks loose in your life and you lose your job and all this bad stuff happens to you, man, when you know your primary objective, it's like that compass that's inside of you. It tells you there's something inside of you that says, you know what? All hell can break loose around me. Let me tell you something. I live my life for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what happens. I'll bring on the storm. I'll do whatever because my purpose in life is to bring glory to my King. Regardless of what the world looks like around me. Those two heaven-bound people are just going for it. Thank you. Just kidding, Deborah. We got to focus on the primary objective, right? Where are we going? What are we doing? Well, we are followers of Jesus Christ. That's it, right? I pastored a church for 18 years in the Kansas City area, and we had this young couple in our church, and they were very much involved, small groups, all this stuff, and the wife had Crohn's disease, so she was sick a lot, and her husband would have to take care of her, and I'll never forget one day, I mean, these guys are like small group leaders. The husband comes up to me, and he says, Pastor Michael, I need to talk to you. Just want you to know, I feel like God has told me I'm supposed to divorce my wife. And I'm like, I remember looking at him going, yeah, right. Really? What? He's like, yeah, man, I just, you know, I feel like I could have a, you know, I could do more for God. I just, you know, I'm taking care of her. I feel like really she's slowing me down. And I remember looking at it. I couldn't believe it because I thought he was so spiritually mature. And so I sat him down. I had the Bible and I was trying to show him in the Bible where he was wrong. And he didn't listen to me. And so I tried to do what the Bible tells me to do. And I got a bunch of other guys in the church. And we beat him up, and then we told him, no, I'm just kidding. But we sat him down. I remember we were in this room in our church, like upstairs, and we were talking to him, and we're like giving him scripture, and he's just sitting in the chair. It's like a blank face, and we're telling him, we're like, dude, you can't do this. You can't. and call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ? And he was like, well, I disagree. I don't interpret the Bible like you guys interpret it. Isn't that convenient, by the way? What a bunch of garbage. So he left, and a few months later, literally a few months later, he was remarried to a waitress that served at a restaurant that he always ate at for the last 5 years during lunch. But God told me to leave my wife. And I tell you that story because it makes me want to puke, but also because here's an idea, just an idea. How about this? How about you don't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ if you don't follow Jesus Christ? Just an idea. Like maybe you and I don't refer to ourselves as Christians if we're not following Christ. Like literally, I don't think it's that hard to understand. I could get a first grader here. I could sit the first grader down and I could ask him, what does a follower of Jesus Christ do? They follow Jesus. You're right. That's what they do. Right? You know, personally, this is a personal thing and maybe I'm wrong. I don't like to use the term believers. And I know it's in the Bible and you can email me about that. I understand. I just personally don't like to, when referring to Christians, I don't like to call them believers. You know why? Because the Bible also says that the devil and his angels believe. And you and I have both met people who say they believe in Jesus, and yet when you look at their life, they're absolutely not living at all like they're going where Jesus is going. Don't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not going to follow Jesus Christ. Our primary objective, gang, is to bring glory to the Lord with our lives by following him, obeying him, serving him. And Paul here, he knows his primary objective. He says, look, man, I live in this relationship with the God who created me. I love him. He loves me. I belong to him. I serve him. And he speaks to me. And he has given me a calling on my life. And get this, everything else in my life submits to the calling that God gave me. Did you hear that? So like when I was single, I can't date people if that's not submitted to the calling that God's called me to. I don't date people like that. Because this, everything in my life, I don't take jobs that don't fit into what God has called me to. I don't go to places that don't fit into what God has called me to. Everything submits to what God has called me to. And God has called me to go stand before Caesar. I'm gonna do it. Everything else in my life. Listen, I don't know what you do for a living, if you're a doctor or a plumber, or if you're unemployed. I don't know what your interests are, your hobbies are, but I can tell you this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I know what your primary objective is. And that is to take the God that you love and that you know to a world that doesn't know him yet. That's it. Amen? Amen. Right on. Let's keep going here. Verse 27. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and they found it to be 15 fathoms. So it's getting shallower. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, listen, they dropped four anchors from the stern and they prayed for day to come. Just really quickly, what they do here is what you and I do so often. We see crisis coming. We see some kind of an impact and it doesn't look like it's going to be fun. Things are getting shallower. We see it coming. So what do? We drop anchors. We're trying to slow ourselves. I don't want to lose my job. Things are weird at work. I go, whoa. And we pray for daylight to come. Oh God, please don't let me lose my job. Oh God, please don't let her leave me. Oh God, please don't let this thing happen. Don't let this thing happen. And what happened is we're stopping. Instead of bracing for impact, we're trying to keep the impact from coming. And we may be missing the very thing that God wants to happen in our lives, that he might receive the ultimate glory. Amen? All right. Keep going here. My third point. You got to get rid of stuff. You got to refocus on your primary objective. You have to attach yourself to others. Look at verse 30. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, by the way, real quick, three types of people on the ship, right? You got prisoners, soldiers, and sailors. Prisoners and soldiers probably don't know a lot about sailing. Sailors should know a lot about sailing, right? When the only people on the boat who know about sailing want to get the heck off the boat, you're in trouble, right? Okay, just want to point that out. All right. Let me just read that again. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff, skiff's another word for lifeboat, into the sea under, I like this, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Listen, then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the lifeboat and they let it fall off. Check this out, man. The sailors want to leave. They've already dropped four anchors. The Bible told us that. So now they're going to go, oh, we're just going to drop a few more anchors up here in the front. But they're trying to get the lifeboat. They want off. Remember, 2 weeks now, it's been dark. And Paul calls them on. He's like, hey, these guys, if they leave, we're done. All of us. And in some very strange way here, Paul is declaring to this very motley crew that they need to bind themselves together. They need to attach themselves together for the sake of the whole. If anybody tries to jump ship, if anybody only looks out for themselves, we are all done. I wonder how many of us wouldn't be trying to sneak off that ship as well, taking the life raft for ourselves. You know, in our culture right now, you hear that kind of language a lot being used. You know, you didn't, I don't think you heard it as much in the 50s and the 60s. You know, if you were a Christian dude, you went to church. But these days in our culture, people you work with, people that you know, we hear a lot of this, don't we? Man, you know what? I like God. I like God. I don't like church. Don't we hear that? Yeah, I'm cool with God. I'm just not cool with church. The church is just, you know, it's all showy. Look at all the lights and it's just full of hypocrites. I mean, I love God. I just don't need the church. The only problem with that kind of thinking is, last time I looked, the church is made up of people and God gave up his life for people. So when someone says, I love God, I just don't like church, basically what they're saying is, I love God, I just don't like people. And God loves people. I need God, they might say, but I don't need people. Hebrews 10:25, verses used all the time, you guys know it. But the writer of Hebrews tells the people, he says, listen, don't stop meeting together. It's the manner of some people. Yeah, some people are making it their little habit not to meet together. But I'm telling you right now, don't stop meeting together. You have to be together. Why? Because the day's approaching. So much more as the day's approaching. Look at ISIS, our culture. We had people get shot up like 2 miles from this location right here. It's happening all the time. It doesn't even faze us anymore. It's so often happening in our culture. It's very, very dark. We got to meet together. Iron sharpens iron. We got to be doing it even more so as we see the day approaching. You know what I find when I read the Bible? Just read the whole thing yesterday. What I find, people say that, I always think, okay, sorry. I can find no pattern at all of anybody in the Bible, anybody who's spiritually healthy, who does not live in spiritual community. I just can't. Not anybody that's spiritually healthy who doesn't live in spiritual community. We must attach ourselves to one another for the sake of the whole, for us to make our maximum impact for the master. If anyone jumps ship, it ain't good. And I think it's easy for people to jump ship today. You know, they say things like this. I just need to work on me right now. You know, my life is really turbulent and it's really, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Pastor Michael, if you were married to my husband or if you had my job or if you had my boss, I get it. It's just really hard right now and it's turbulent and I feel a little bit seasick and like I just need to yak up an organ. You know, I'll get involved. I'll contribute as soon as I get my stuff together. And when people say stuff like that, I just want to say to them, that's just great. Because you look like a lifelong project to me. And so am I. I'm a lifelong project. But if we all wait until we are all perfect, nothing will ever get done. Nothing. When you're in the storm, man, it is all hands on deck. All hands on deck.
You've been listening to Pastor Michael Kraft and Burning Hearts. We're a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you at our services on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study. For directions to the church building and times of the service, come check us out online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to learn more about the church and what we believe, head on over to the website. While you're there, you can fill out an email form with your questions or comments, or you can join with us in spreading the gospel through financial support. Here at Burning Hearts, we know it can be intimidating to try to share your faith. If you've ever felt insecure or fearful when you think about sharing the gospel, we have a great tool for you. It's called Something Missing, and you can find it on our website. It's a simple tool to help you get over the tongue-tied feeling and calm the butterflies in your stomach. We want to do everything we can to help you share the gospel. Come on over and add another tool to your tool bag. You never know when your opportunity will open up to share, and having tools available to you can help you take the chance. Being prepared can make an eternal difference in the lives of the people you love. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back next time as we work together to stoke the coals of our burning hearts.